Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yeah!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us today. Big changes, at least that's the word on the street with the NCAA recruiting period. We were able to talk about it some yesterday. It happened. Matt Norlander, CBS Sports' story out just before we came on yesterday. And a lot of good talk yesterday with Mike Pegram and some of the guests on our program. So if you missed that, you may go back and check the podcast. That'll obviously be a topic moving forward that is going to affect recruiting and college basketball. Obviously, two topics that we talk a lot about on this program this coming season and beyond. Big changes, different changes, still a lot of unknowns, so it's going to be interesting to see how all of it shakes out. But that has kind of been the news of the week so far after the July recruiting periods for Division I coaches came to an end. And now we're seeing a lot of these recruits that IU and other schools are in on or maybe offered over the month start to trim their list and come out with a graphic of a final four, a final six, a final eight, a final 10, whatever they decide to do. And so we'll be tracking some of those. Not really that big a deal, to be quite honest with you, but interesting to see who kids cut and who IU makes the list for and that sort of thing. It'll maybe tell us who to expect visits from coming up here later in the fall. But recruiting continues to be a hot button topic right now. And of course, we'll talk to you here in a minute about high school football. We've got our big kickoff show set. I'll give you some more details for that as well. Welcome into the program. Glad to have you with us. Let's get right to the Honey Baked Ham guest lineup. A look at who is going to join us on this Wednesday program. Wednesday's a good one. Once we get through some headlines and some other news here in this first segment presented by Hoopster Sports Grill, we will have Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com with us here on this program. Recruiting with Jeff, IU basketball with Jeff. We'll talk more about the recruiting changes that at least have been reported by Matt Norlander yesterday. Interesting time coming off, fresh off a trip to Vegas is Jeff Rabjohns. So we'll talk with him about all that and more. Then later in the program, Greg Mengelt, News and Tribune sports editor, he is with me. A number of local things either going on or getting ready to get fired up here in the next couple of weeks. It's really been a slow time. The Little League stuff, it gets its moment of glory in the summer because the high school seasons are at a pause. But we did have an American Legion baseball team coached by Ricky Romans, the Charlestown coach, sponsored by the Floyd's Knobs American Legion Post, make it to the state championship game before they got beat in American Legion baseball yesterday. So we'll touch on that. We've got New Albany moving on to the big Little League Regional, the Great Lakes Regional. That is always fun. Going to be exciting Sunday to see Indiana, which of course is the New Albany team, take on Kentucky, which is the St. Matthews Little League team from across the river. So that will be fun to talk about. And a few other things. High school football just away, a few weeks away. We're getting really close to the start of the season, and I'm going to be talking more about the start of the high school football season coming up here later in this segment in just a few moments, really, so stay with us for that. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. As I said, a lot of recruiting stuff today. A lot of the players getting back, maybe getting into school, maybe getting ready to close out their summer and taking an opportunity to cut their list, to set visits, those sort of things. That's the kind of recruiting news that I would expect into August and maybe even early September, finding out who's going to be at Hoosier Hysteria, finding out if anybody's going to set an unofficial visit this into the summer, into the early fall to the Bloomington campus, finding out who's going to set maybe official visits up for the fall, those sorts of things, and perhaps a commitment. You never know. I mean, Kobe Barnes yesterday cutting his list down to five schools. But as far as from an Indiana perspective, scholarship offer goes out yesterday to a player named Isaiah Jackson that the staff had recruited in the month of July. Jackson, I think, is the fifth or sixth new scholarship offer from the start of the July period until now. So a number of new players for Indiana mixed in with some of the guys that the staff has been on now for a number of time as well. Jackson is a power forward. I'm going to give you some details on him here in a second. 6'9" from Old Redford Academy in Detroit, Michigan, and he's a member of the class of 2020. So not a senior-to-be or a senior now that school's getting back in, but a junior-to-be when high school basketball gets here. He's got a number of schools interested in him. He's got a handful of offers as well. Offer from Louisville, offer from Connecticut, Creighton, Florida State, many others as well. Lots of other schools recruiting him too. So he's a player, obviously, that's picked up a lot of interest this month and someone to add to the IU radar. Also, scholarship offer-wise, a young player in the state to watch down at Evansville Wrights. He will be making his way up here to play New Albany and Jeff this season is Christian Lander. He got his first big scholarship offer, at least, over the weekend from Illinois and Brad Underwood. So Indiana has watched him. Indiana has tracked him. He gets his first Big Ten level offer with Illinois getting into the mix early with him. And again, he's a player that will be fun to watch over the next couple of years in area high school basketball. Of course, Evansville Wrights, as I mentioned, plays New Albany, plays some of the teams up this way. So you'll get a chance to see him and keep track on him closer than a lot of the guys we talk about that obviously are out of the area. Also, Kyra Lewis, another player that Indiana has watched and been mentioned with and offered a scholarship to. He has cut his list to a top 12, a number of schools on that top 12. Indiana, one of those 12 schools on the list. Kansas, Alabama, Auburn, Providence, LSU, Georgia with Tom Crean, Baylor, Iowa State, that's just a handful. Houston with Kelvin Sampson, handful of the schools in his top 12 that makes the final list of Kyra Lewis, a player that Indiana has been recruiting now for some time. Don't know how serious it is, but obviously a name that we've sure heard a number of times. Floyd Central senior Kobe Barnes, he joined us Monday on the radio program, fresh off of all kind of July travels, been around the country playing this month in front of college coaches, added three new offers, Fort Wayne, Belmont, and Lehigh, in addition to a number of mid-major offers that he had going in to the month of July. He tweeted out yesterday that he has cut his list to a final five, those five schools, Belmont, Fort Wayne, Indiana State, Lehigh, and Miami of Ohio are the schools that he will consider from this point forward. And he also said he plans to make a decision in the next 2 weeks. So we'll know the destination of the Floyd Central senior, going to be one of the big area standouts this year in high school basketball for sure. We'll know his college destination coming up here, at least it looks like, within a couple weeks. Nick Zeisler, former IU player, he is going to play some basketball overseas. He will be playing with Eurobasket Roma. That it was tweeted out by the club that he will play for overseas. So for them, for him, I should say, an opportunity to play, make some money overseas, and play basketball still at a high level. Also, Cliff Marshall, another interesting tweet out from him. Cliff, of course, the strength and conditioning coach at Indiana, director of athletic performance, I think is his official title. But he put out a tweet with a one-year transformation of IU's 2017 freshman class, which Clifton Moore, Justin Smith, Al Durham, and then Race Thompson, who was a redshirt, He has pictures before and after. It's really remarkable, the differences in the players' bodies, a front picture and their back, and a back picture. Average improvements from those four players, members of the 2017 class for Indiana, pretty impressive. Standing vertical is plus 6.5 inches higher. The deadlift is plus 195 pounds more weight. This is an average among the four players. 185 pound bench press, plus 10 reps per player, and pull-ups plus 16 reps. So obviously Cliff Marshall not only gets it done in the weight room, gets it done in improving these guys' bodies from an athletic standpoint, but keeps great records on it as well, as you would imagine that they would. Everything is tracked down to the very details nowadays, especially when it comes to that kind of stuff. So interesting improvements. I think we all will be blown away when we see something similar for Indiana's 2018 class. I mentioned Romeo Langford when he was at the opening of Romeo Langford Court. Looked bigger, said he was bigger, said he had picked up some weight. Obviously, the workouts, the strength and conditioning, the diet, the meal plan, that's all part of those increases. So it'll be really interesting to see when Hoosier Hysteria arrives, and I'm assuming there won't be a lot of opportunities to see players up close and personal unless Indiana puts out some more hype videos and clips and things like that. The growth that could happen between when they get back to school and, you know, Hoosier Hysteria date could really be impressive. So kudos again to Cliff Marshall. He keeps the IU fan base on edge. He has put out a lot of good information, a lot of good photos, and again, just another reason I think for IU fans to be excited about what's to come here this upcoming season. Let's take a look, too, in this first segment. Details now set for our Zaxby's High School football kickoff show for the 2018 football season here in Southern Indiana. Wednesday, August 8th. It'll be one day, 1 week from today, one evening from tonight. Wednesday, August 8th, 7 to 9 p.m. at Zaxby's location in New Albany, located at 2870 Charlestown Road, New Albany, Indiana. All the Clark and Floyd County head coaches will be there in high school football. We'll start off with Brian Gleasing of 6A Jeffersonville. Then we'll go down from there. New Albany coach Steve Cooley, Floyd Central coach James Bragg, John Dablo of Silver Creek, Jason Hawkins of Charlestown, Justin Bozer of Clarksville, Larry Dennison at Providence, and Jason Rottenberger at Rock Creek. They will all join us in a two-hour span. We'll talk with each school for about 12 or 13 minutes, and also each coach will be bringing along two of their top players. So you're going to get all the head coaches in one room. We're going to get the top players together as well. Some Zaxby's food. We invite you to come out to the Zaxby's location in New Albany. If you can't make it, listen live on the Big X. We'll also have a podcast available of the show as well. But the high school football season is here. We are getting really close to the start of the season, and the kickoff show is always, at least to the Big X, the official way to get things rolling with the upcoming high school football season. So we look forward to that. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. It's Wednesday, so you know about the special at Hoopsters. You buy three or six traditional or boneless wings, and you get three or six free at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. That's every Wednesday for lunch, for dinner, anytime in between. It's a great deal. Buy three or six traditional or boneless wings, you get three or six free at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Speaking of the high school football season, we will be doing Kentuckiana Football Fridays. It's going to be a great way to keep up with everything going on in the area. We'll start at 6 o'clock in a couple weeks when the season kicks off with a kickoff show, interviews with some coaches and some media from across the area, previewing the big games on both sides of the river. And then at 7 o'clock, when kickoffs across Southern Indiana happen, we will have call-in updates. I'll have a continuous scoreboard going on. We'll have play-by-play from some of the big games. And we're just going to take you around the area, a lot like we did last year, but trying to step it up a notch in this 2018 season and keep you abreast with the very latest. We'll keep our finger on the pulse of high school football this fall. So don't forget Friday nights, even if you're at a game. It's the perfect way to stay up to date with the full area. Take your phone. You can stream us. Take a radio. You can listen in your headset. We'll be all over the area with updates from the start of kickoff until all the games are concluded. At that point, we'll have a scoreboard show, and we'll have scores and highlights from both sides of the river. We'll have coaches that will be joining us. We'll have media that will be joining us. We'll have athletic directors that will be joining us coming up this fall. It's going to be a lot of fun. Basically, it's going to be five or more hours of local content every Friday night for the high school football season. So you'll be hearing me talk more about this. You'll be hearing me plug this now between today and the start of the season coming up here in a few weeks. But we look forward to increasing our coverage on Friday nights and making sure that we're the leader in getting you anything you need to know about what's going on in high school football across the area. It gets chaotic in here on Fridays, I can promise you that, but we're going to bring you as much coverage, updates, scores, reports, some play-by-play from the big games as we navigate across the area each and every Friday night. It'll be Kentuckiana Football Fridays with Matt Dennison here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. IU basketball recruiting. Jeff is fresh off a trip to Vegas to watch a lot of these players that we talk about. New rules forthcoming, it looks like, for the month of July that could affect June and April as well. We'll talk about all of that with Jeff Rabjohns coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com here on a Wednesday edition of the program. Jeff is fresh off a trip to Las Vegas for the final evaluation window for coaches. And as the coaches come off the road, lots of potential changes being reported on and being circulated out there for what future Julys and really the future of college basketball recruiting in general could look at. So a lot to get to with Jeff today. Let's start, Jeff, with your trip to Las Vegas. Always envious of you, especially during the month of July. You got to see a lot of high-level players. You got to see a lot of players that Indiana has either been recruiting for a while and a number of players that Indiana offered scholarship to this month and is just really beginning the recruiting process with, especially some younger players. So a lot of things to cover from Las Vegas.
Yeah, definitely. First of all, I'm going to apologize for my voice. I caught a cold on the red eye coming back. So,
hard-working guy, we understand, Jeff. Just glad you're with us today.
So hopefully, excuse me, hopefully we can get through this. Sorry. Hang on a second. Give me 30 seconds here.
Yep. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Again, hard-working guy in July and trying to join us today, even though he's a little under the weather. So we'll keep his segment short and value whatever we can get from him. Jeff, let us know if you're okay to continue.
All right, there we go.
Gotcha.
Let's see if we can try this again.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I think Vegas was really instructive on three different fronts. By the end of July, you really get a vibe for what schools are serious contenders for players. and what schools aren't. For example, Kyra Lewis tweeted out a list of a cut to 12, which was quite comical because there's only three or four schools he's seriously considering. so there's I'm sorry, everybody.
That's okay. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Jeff, if you need to go, we understand if you're ill, but we'll try to let you continue the best you can. Yeah, late.
We'll give it a swing here.
Okay.
I don't know if this will
work. Okay.
But you get a sense of who's really involved and who's not. You know, like with Kyra Lewis, there's only three or four schools down south that are serious options for him. So you really have an idea when guys tweet out things, you know, whether they're real or not. And certainly that wasn't. You also get a chance to really see guys that Indiana's sort of, you know, now they've jumped on. A guy like James Bouknight from PSA Cardinals, about 6'3", 6'4", athletic and score it. Really, really nice player. A guy who I think they're going to jump on pretty hard. A guy who certainly, you know, I think they're going to get on campus. In my opinion, based on everything I picked up out in Vegas, but I think he's a guy to really pay attention to. You get a chance to see a guy like Anthony Harris again, the combo guard from Team Takeover. And, you know, he showed that his shooting has taken some steps, which we saw kind of going back to the top 100 camp out at the University of Virginia in June. But he was definitely a guy you looked at, and I think he solidified himself as a high four-star prospect in my eyes. The other thing, you get a chance to see some of the juniors that they're going to really start jumping in on. Guys like Caleb Love, the exceptional point guard out of the St. Louis area, plays for Bradley Beal's AAU program. He was definitely, you know, one of those guys you look at and say that's kind of a, you know, a higher level prospect. I would probably call him very much a high four-star kind of guy, but he was outstanding. Isaiah Jackson out of Detroit, he was tremendous. He's certainly, you know, a big-time national-level guy, five-star type guy that they've now offered. Got a chance to see Damari Burnett, an outstanding shooter from Prolific Prep. Also got a chance, again, to see Andre Jackson, big-time bouncy shooting guard athlete from the City Rocks program out in Albany, New York. So, that, you know, Vegas was a chance to really kind of dial in on players, because you really don't have to sit around and chase coaches. Oh, who are they watching? Who are they watching? By the time you get to the third period, which is usually Vegas, you have a good sense of who they're interested in. You know, so you can say, okay, you know, I'm going to go sit and watch Damari Burnett two full games, because I know they're serious about him, and I fully expect an offer to come. Same thing with Caleb Love, excuse me. Same thing with Andre Jackson. It's really productive from the standpoint you can sit there and watch the guys play, and you get a chance to talk to them and their parents a lot. So those were the kind of some of the bigger takeaways from July.
Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com with us, even though he's a little under the weather. We appreciate the opportunity to talk. Just a couple more questions to kind of to build on your Vegas experience, I guess. One of the thoughts that went through my mind as I saw you and others reporting some of the new scholarship offers that were going out during the month, and it wasn't a lot, it was a handful to primarily younger players. If you get involved with a 2020 class player, which means they're going to be a junior when school resumes and a junior for the upcoming season of high school basketball, you basically getting involved at this point of the summer, you've got the rest of the off season to recruit them and make contact, possibly get a visit of some sort, likely an unofficial visit. The opportunity always exists maybe to have them on campus for Hoosier Hysteria, depending on, you know, where they're at travel-wise, how logistical that is for a weekend-type setting. But also, you've got the full high school basketball season to get to know their high school coach, to get to know their family, to get out to some of their games in between IU's rigorous schedule. I guess my question is, and the thinking process I was going through, seeing some these offers go out to younger players, at this point, this is a pretty standard time when you get involved with an underclassman to still give the staff plenty of time to build the necessary relationship to get them on campus and do the things they need to do to potentially secure a commitment ultimately. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think now is a pretty traditional time because coaches have had a chance to, you know, give multiple looks at players. And look, part of what happens is, you know, they'll start off in the April evaluation periods, and they'll make sure to hit key guys that they need to hit. You know, in Indiana's case, like guys like Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks and players of that level, to make sure they know, hey, we're here, game one, first period, showing you interest. And then they'll have assistants kind of like, okay, you know, as you get later in the April period, and there's only two of them, they're only 3 days long, which some coaches think is a little on the short side for actually having time to go out and actually scout, which is take a look at guys you heard of but you need to take a look at. And but they'll try to have an assistant or two, you know, slip out and see some guys just to take a look. You know, good enough for us to pay attention to. And then you'll have assistant coaches who kind of reach out maybe in once you get to June 15th, which is the date that, that colleges can reach out directly to the players themselves. So you have some assistant coaches reach out and just kind of make contact and just start to kind of get a vibe for, okay, what kind of kid is this? You know, does he even return phone calls or not? When we talk to him, you know, what do we learn? And you talk to AU coaches and high school coaches and other people who might be involved. A lot of times some smart schools will call other high school coaches who played against a kid. Be like, okay, what's he like? You know, is he, you know, is he sporting his teammates when he's on the bench, or is he sitting there moping? Does he listen to his coaches, or does he talk back? What's the deal? So then you get to July, and colleges, the ones who do it well, in my opinion, you know, have the information they need. That way when the head coach can sit down and get a couple looks in at, say, you know, Caleb Love, an Andre Jackson, an Amari Burnett, they kind of got the background already done, so the head coach can make a decision. Yeah, I like him, but don't offer yet. I want to see more. Or, hey, yep, he's good enough, no doubt about it. We've done our background work. Yep, okay. All right, I'm going to give him a call and make a scholarship offer. So that's kind of how it works as far as some of the younger kids with the schools who kind of, I would say, do it, you know, in an organized, planned out fashion.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, joining us. Of course, we're talking recruiting. The final evaluation period ended on Sunday. Now that the coaches have been off the road, I think the expectation was, and you and I had some conversation both on and off air about this, but the expectation was that we would find out, we thought fairly soon, what the changes to summer recruiting and college basketball recruiting may be. Now, Matt Norlander of CBS Sports had a story just before we came on yesterday that pretty much, according to a source he has, details a lot of what the expected proposal is to go to the NCAA for a vote and for approval coming up very soon. So I think as quick as we thought it might be, finding out some of these details has happened even quicker. What are your thoughts? Keeping the first evaluation period, which would allow the Nike Peach Jam and perhaps the other big shoe finales to still exist in the form we know them today, although some of them would have to maybe move to, I assume, different dates and different locations for it to fit in that first window. That's something that wasn't kind of out there with Jeff Goodman's initial report on all this stuff. So the NCAA, the NABC, somebody definitely listening to all the coaches complaining and really upset about this throughout this month of July recruiting, seeing how good some of these events are, seeing how many top-level players gather at these events, and that it's team basketball. You've been great to point out in recent interviews with us that it's not just, hey, this is a lot of talent, here you go, watch them play, split them up, go through a camp setting, play some scrimmage games at night. These are teams that have played in a very grueling setting and a very difficult schedule, these shoe circuits I'm speaking of. And by the time they get to July, these teams, just like a high school team is playing better in March than it does in November, these shoe circuit teams are playing together with big prizes on the line better in July in front of college coaches than they are earlier in the spring.
Yeah, that's definitely the team. Team concept is definitely a part of it that I think gets ignored. And I think the people that have never been out to see an AAU event, they'll see the worst of the worst show up on social media and they go, ah, see, I told you, that's what it's all about. That's 100. And they'll take this big brush and they'll paint 100% of AAU with the worst clips that show up on social media, which is beyond ridiculous. I mean, if you took any profession, any entity, and painted them with a brush of the worst, we would all look like people who should just be wiped off the face of the earth on general principle. But when you really look at it, when you go to these events, the Peach Jam is ridiculously competitive. And you have guys like, I was talking to Anthony Harris, the point guard, the combo guard off the team takeover team. And he was saying, yeah, you know, we knew we were going to be pretty good this year 3 or 4 years ago. I'm like, what do you mean 3 or 4 years ago? He's like, yeah, most of us have been together in team takeover since 6th or 7th grade. So you have, you know, that component. And you can look at other programs like that. Look at some of the really good Indiana elite teams around here that had guys like, you know, the Zellers, like Yogi Ferrell, you know, guys of that nature. Excuse me. It is very good basketball, and everybody who's been to the Peach Jam knows how good basketball is. I mean, there's some Peaks.com members who, you know, several years ago said, you know, hey, is this open to the public? Yeah. Can I go? Yeah, you need to get there early. Here's the schedule. Here's where you need to go. And they walked out of there going, oh, my gosh, that's like high school playoff basketball in Indiana. I said, yeah, I know. These guys want to win the Peach Jam. It's become a thing. I can't tell you why it's become a thing, but to try to win the Peach Jam has become a thing, and they're very serious about it. So I thought it was good that the NABC listened to coaches' points, as did people on the NCAA commission. And I think it's important to note that the NABC is the one, it's essentially the coaches' association, the one that kind of listened to a few of its members and pushed some rather extreme changes. And people are yelling at, quote, the NCAA, unquote, about all this. And the NABC leadership deserves a considerable amount of blame as well. I don't think the leadership of the Coach Association functioned all that well at all. And if you polled coaches privately, like some of us did throughout July, I didn't find one single coach who felt the Coaches Association did a good job. Not one. Not a Division I coach, not a Division I high major coach, not a Division II coach, not a Division III coach. I couldn't find one coach that felt like the NABC did a really good job. So the Coach Association deserves some blame here for not really functioning at a high level. The NCAA Commission, the problem that they have is that they are looking at the Brian Bowen situation. And let's just assume everything that was alleged in court documents and legal papers and FBI papers is true. I think everybody knows the story. We don't have to rehash it. According to FBI documents, he got paid $100,000 to go to Louisville by Adidas. Okay. Mark Emmert, the NCAA president, apparently cannot function beyond one simple fact. Because if you listen to people who have had conversations with Mark Emmert, what they will tell you is this. Emmert thinks basically every big-time kid is in the exact same situation as Brian Bowen, is getting hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's all coming from shoe companies. The only way to save college basketball is try to completely and totally eliminate all contact whatsoever from anyone associated with shoe companies and high school kids. So Mark Emmert wants a 100% complete and total divide, and there shall be no contact whatsoever in any way possible. Okay, so that's ridiculous, Matt. I mean, it's just the level of, let's just be kind here and say, lack of information on the part of people like Condoleezza Rice and Mark Emmert is truly stunning. Are there situations like Brian Mullen? Yeah. Is that what happens in most of recruiting? Not even close. Not even close. And you have shoe companies that sponsor teams, so that what happens? A lot of kids can play, and how much does it cost the kid? Zero. How much does it cost mom and dad? Zero. But these kids get to play in front of college coaches. I think it was Illinois Wolves that tweeted out, since their program has started, kids who have gone through their program have gotten $60 million in worth of college scholarships. Mm. Most of those kids, not high major. Yeah, they've had some studs. Kata Bates Diop, most recent Big Ten Player of the Year. But they've also had a whole bunch of kids who go what we'd call mid to low major, but they got a free education. And the idea that all those kids were getting paid, you know, illicitly under the table, so let's get rid of these kids, is insane. The other problem is, the worst basketball all summer is camp basketball, because you're bringing a bunch of guys together from around the country who don't know each other, putting them on a team for a very short window and saying, okay, let's roll out the ball. Here you go, play. Yeah, if you guys have never practiced together, oh, don't worry about it. Just we'll stick somebody on the sidelines. Hey, Billy Joe, yeah, you once played in the NBA. You don't know any of these kids. You don't know anything about them. But you've got a big name, so we're going to stick you on the sideline. Okay, coach them up. Let's go. That happens at the NBA Players Association Top 100 Camp, where you have a lot of 4- and 5-star level talent. The players are good. The play itself is terrible. It is the worst basketball I see every year. And this whole proposal hangs its hat on Let's get rid of these teams. Let's get rid of Indian Elite. Let's get rid of Team Takeover, Spies, Indy Heat. Let's get rid of all these really good programs, the Albany City Rocks. You know, let's get rid of all these great programs, Showtime Ballers, and get rid of them, and let's replace it with this really crappy basketball called Camp Basketball. And, oh, by the way, we're going to have a camp with somewhere around 1,000 kids. Are you serious? They have logistical problems every year at the Top 100 camp, which has all the University of Virginia, a whole dorm to use, all kinds of shuttles and everything. They've got like 110 kids, and they have logistical problems. And you're going to tell me it's no problem to run a camp for 1,000 kids and get them all where they need to be every day and get them fed and get them housed? Good luck. Seriously. So I think I understand the theory behind it. Oh, and here's the other thing I'll pass along to you. I kept trying to get at the why. You know, why is there such a big push for this? And part of it was what I told you. People who talk to Mark Emmert think that he believes the Brian Bowen situation is what happens with every big-time program. That's every kid. They think that's what Mark Emmert believes. And the other thing, there were some coaches who were like, the whole idea, Emmert thinks if you completely disconnect kids from shoe company sponsor teams, that you get rid of any chance of that. And that's really silly on another level, too. Brian Bowen, again, we're going to assume everything in the court documents is true, okay? So we'll use the word alleged just so none of us get in trouble. Allegedly got $100,000 from Adidas. Brian Bowen never played for an Adidas-sponsored team. Brian Bowen never went to an Adidas camp. Brian Bowen never went to Adidas Nations. He went to La Lamere, a big-time prep school program sponsored by Nike. Brian Bowen was disconnected from Adidas for AAU purposes. They still got money to him. So the whole idea of not being able to play for shoe company teams doesn't even stop what we know has occurred. That's another reason a whole lot of people look at this and say, it's really silly because, you know, not only are you guys seeing a fly on the window and hitting it with a jackhammer, you're seeing a fly on the window and turning around and hitting the window on the other side of the house. You're not even aiming at the right things. So that's where it stands right now. I think in time this is going to change back because the proposals are just way too silly, and logistically there's too many problems.
Great stuff from Jeff Rabjohns. He started the conversation, couldn't talk. He started preaching about a subject he's passionate about, and all of a sudden I think he could go on for the rest of the show. Great stuff. You mentioned La Lamere, and it got me thinking about something. Really good stuff, and I know this conversation on what happens with the recruiting next year will continue. There's a lot to figure out about June. They're going to open 2 3-day periods for high school stuff. That will be really interesting. But again, you want to talk about logistics to figure out who, what, how, processes, who's going to do it. That will be crazy. Other things as well about the more visits in April after the live period or two, depending on the calendar each year. But I do want to bring up something about Keon Brooks. There has been a lot of rumors. There's been a lot of discussion. There's been a lot of concern, quite frankly. Not really concern from an IU perspective on, oh, if he doesn't go back to a Indiana high school like Fort Wayne North that plays in the state tournament, that's a disadvantage. Indiana's really got good connections with Keon Brooks that have been longstanding, including Ed Schilling coaching his father, as we've talked about on this program. In fact, we had Keon's dad on. That was a big topic of that conversation. But with all that said, from an Indiana high school basketball perspective, Brandon Newman has left Valparaiso. That's at the opposite end of the state. Had he not been a target of Indiana, it probably wouldn't even be talked about much down here. There was a transfer yesterday from Lawrence North. Mike Saunders Jr. is going to a prep school out west. Saunders is a solid, I guess, mid-major player is a good way to describe him. And now the potential for Keon Brooks to not go back to Fort Wayne North and go out of state maybe, or stay in state and go to LaPorte-La Lamere, who you mentioned just a few minutes ago. What's the latest you hear? What's your thoughts on the Brooks situation? And generally, I hate to see good players, whether they're a high major player like Keon Brooks and Brandon Newman, or someone like Mike Saunders, who, you know, would play at a Ball State level, at least at this point. That's the type of schools that have been recruiting him. I just hate to see really good players leave really good programs in Indiana high school basketball.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I think as of right now, Keon has not made a final decision. Lala Mir is a very real possibility. If he announces that that's where he's going to go, it will be absolutely no shock whatsoever. As far as that specific situation goes, you know, they had a coaching change. His father, who is qualified, obviously been an assistant, been a assistant AU coach with big-time program there with the Indy Heat. He applied for the job. Somebody else got the job. Not only did somebody else get the job, the decision-makers didn't even call Keon Brooks Sr. and let him know that he did not get the job. So, obviously, somebody there was not functioning at a real thoughtful level at that moment in time. And I don't think that's the specific reason that they're looking around. It's just there are options out there. And one of the things that you do hear from guys who are really talented is that sometimes they go to the prep school programs because there are guys that are as good as them to practice against every day. And some guys feel like they need that challenge to be as ready as possible when they walk in the door in college. Some guys are, you know, elite, and they don't feel like they necessarily have another guy to go up against, and they'd rather not just dominate practice, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then play on Friday and Saturday. Now, that's not always the case. Other guys feel like, you know, this is my high school, should be loyal to it and stay there. So I'm just saying I try to keep me out of the equation. You know, I try to keep my opinion totally off the table, you know, and you know, just report organically what the player did, what he felt the situation was, what his family felt the situation was. Obviously, you know, the prep schools went hard after Romeo Langford for a number of years, and he chose to be loyal and stay at New Albany, and he should get credit for that. But I guess I just try to keep my opinion out of it because I understand each individual's kid's situation. It's different. And parents, you know, can view things different ways. But I do think Lalamere is very a realistic landing spot for Keon Brooks. I don't think that will have any impact whatsoever in his college decision. This IU staff has very good relationships with Brooks and his family. They also have very good relationship with the Lalamere coaches. So there's not the perception of the past, shall we say, about Lalamere and Indiana having some sort of riff or something. There are new staffs at IU. There's a new staff at Lalamere. All those old rumors, people should just wad up and throw in the trash because they just don't have anything to do with the current human beings at both schools. But the prep school thing overall, you know, it happens, and I don't think it's going away. I'm not telling anybody to like it or not like it. Again, everybody has a right to make up their own mind. And I know some people have very, very strong opinions about that and have every right to have strong opinions about that. I totally understand it. But my job requires me to live in the real world as far as what is functioning, sometimes rather than what should or shouldn't. And the simple fact, what is occurring is there are kids who are looking at the prep schools, and the prep schools provide opportunities that some kids and their parents find pretty attractive. And as unfortunate as it is, I don't think this part of basketball, kids looking at prep schools and looking at it seriously, I don't think that's going away.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Really good stuff, covering a lot of ground today as he just returns from Las Vegas from the final July recruiting period, and talking about obviously the future of what next July, next summer could look like as well. And I know that we'll have many more discussions about this. You're the perfect guy that gets it, that understands it, that has been there for it. And this will have big effects no matter what the final details look like on the future of the recruiting periods for coaches to be out. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Jeff, hope you get to feeling better. Great coverage all month long, and we'll talk with you again next Wednesday.
Hey, appreciate it. Appreciate it. Always good talking with you. One other thing, just to let people know, Norlander did a great job on the story. We were trading texts. He messed up one thing. Coaches can already do in-home visits in the spring of a player's junior year. That's already allowed. Everybody went in to hit the Matthew Hurts, Keon Brooks, Trace Jackson Davis, et cetera, of the world this spring. So that's already allowed. That's not a change. The coaches just proposed that stays. So just a little housekeeping note. But appreciate you, man. I will see you soon.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com. Always with us on Wednesdays. We'll head out to a quick break. We'll come back with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll talk some Southern Indiana sports headlines to wrap up this Wednesday show after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back. Final segment. It's Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, with me here on this Wednesday program. Greg, it's you've been kind of saying a little slow. This is your easier time of the year, maybe. We've had some little league success to cover in the area. You've got high school football coming up just around the corner. But I think this is the calm before the storm is maybe the more appropriate way to describe this summertime lull right now, because with school back in session, with high school football starting here in a couple weeks, you know as well as anyone, once that high school football season begins, it is off into the races.
Yeah, I think this is probably the last week of summer break, as it were, where things are a little slower, especially with the New Albany Little League advancing again to the Great Lakes region, fourth time in 5 years. We'll be busy with that as well as football previews, and girls golf has begun, and all the other sports have begun practice. So we'll have all those previews as well coming up. And yeah, it goes from what are we going to do today to do I have enough time today pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the New Albany Little League team for just a minute. It is amazing to me. I guess the first thing that's amazing is how many people listen to our coverage of Little League Baseball. When I look at the numbers, it's just unbelievable. But what's amazing to me is once a team wins the state, the whole area really gets behind it. And I think this has been shown with Silver Creek Baseball and with New Albany Basketball, and I'm just hitting on Providence Volleyball. I'm just hitting on a couple. But this Little League team of kids that are 12 years old or younger right now that are missing a lot of school to start the year and having a lot of fun, they have sure gotten a lot of attention this week just since the championship. They will obviously continue to get attention. They're going to play on ESPN Plus on Sunday night, the digital platform for the ESPN networks, and really just an unbelievable time. And I can't imagine all the memories for these kids and families. And once again, you see a community-based sport here in Southern Indiana where people get behind it in a big, big way.
Yeah, you know, this was kind of supposed to be the year conventional wisdom that maybe New Albany wasn't as good as it had been. Maybe this was going to be a year after four straight years of going to the state championship game that maybe they weren't going to this year. And not only did they win the state championship, but the final day they completely dominated it. I don't think they were ever really in trouble the whole day. So now we got ourselves a World Series contender. Just looking at results from other state finals, it looks like, you know, it's really hard to determine that way, but it looks like they're as good as anybody out there. So we'll see what happens with them. And I'll have a column tomorrow on the not just the New Albany Little League success, but, you know, I don't know if you know this, all five of the 12 and under age groups that compete in the state championship were won by Floyd County.
Wow.
Yeah. So just incredible. One county won all five of those state championships. Is just, I doubt that's ever happened before. And then, of course, we'll have our preview of the Great Lakes region on Friday. So we'll have plenty of New Albany coverage even this week leading into next week's tournament.
One of the interesting things, too, of the six teams, the six states that make up the Great Lakes, and there also is the Midwest regional going on at the same location, but two different winners will get bids to the Little League World Series. But out of the six states that make up the Great Lakes, the Ohio representative is New Albany, Ohio.
It is.
So
yeah.
Pretty cool there.
Yeah.
Want to also switch gears for a moment. Coming up, of course, football in a couple weeks. We've got the Zaxby's High School Football Kickoff Show. You guys will be part of that. We'll be talking with all the area coaches and some of their key players from each of the area teams. A quick comment, though, on football. Now that school's back for New Albany and some of the other – in Floyd Central, I should say, and some of the other local schools are getting ready to start on Monday or Tuesday of next week – football season, the official practices have begun. Obviously, there was a lot of work put in over the summer, but I sense some real excitement with a couple of our local programs.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential for some big seasons. I don't know right now if I would predict big seasons for any team except for probably Providence. But there's certainly some potential there for, I'd say, four or five of them. I mean, really, I think we went through the list a couple of weeks ago of teams that you could definitely see making, you know, being at least sectional contenders, starting with Providence, like I said, but Charlestown, Floyd Central, Silver Creek. I mean, I think New Albany, probably not a sectional contender because they're in the same sectional as Columbus East, but, you know, a contender to be a top two or three team in the Hoosier Hills Conference for sure. And you know, while I think that this is probably going to be an average season, when it comes down to the end, it's one of those years where it's really you're not particularly sure what every team has, but you know that there are some teams that could be really good. And I think New Albany really fits that. If everything came together perfectly, there's a potential for that to be the second or third best team in the Hoosier Hills Conference.
Back to basketball to close the show. Battle of the Bridges this weekend across the river in Louisville at the Mid-America Sports Center. We'll have more on this later in the week, but I'm Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central, Trey Horrigan of New Albany, Zane Gross, Ty Kessinger of Silver Creek, Julian Hunter of New Albany, Bailey Conrad of Christian Academy, Jacob Jones of Jeff, Derek Stevenson, New Albany, Trey Coleman, Jeffersonville. Those are some of the local players that have been invited and will participate on the Indiana boys team that plays in the main game. The main games, high school age game, 6:30 the girls game, 8:00 the boys game. Always fun to see the best from this side of the river go against the best from the Louisville side of the river.
Yeah, it's a really cool event, and Gary Darby does a good job of organizing that. But if you think Indiana doesn't have any talent coming back, you're wrong. I would just like to wish Kentucky good luck on Saturday because that's one heck of a roster.
Absolutely. We'll have more on some of the top players and some of the details of that event for Hoopeds that may want to check it out this weekend. Greg, thanks for being with me. Go New Albany Little League. I'm sure we'll see each other in Indianapolis. That will wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective right here on the Big X Sports Radio.